Hey, man.
Oh, you're going to have to bring me down. A little more. Every week. Well, let me just say something really quickly. Charlie, if you're watching, we miss you. I tell you what, you just don't realize how much, I'm still humming a little bit, if you bring me down here. You just don't realize how much, I appreciate him in any way. I really appreciate him, but when he's not here, it all just goes to pot. And if it could all go wrong, it did today. You wouldn't know if unless I told you, but I'm telling you because, you know, we're transparent here. Is that okay with you guys? So just bear with us this morning, but we're figuring these things out. But I want to thank all of you who did make the trip to Durham yesterday to be with Charlie and his family and the rest of us as we were at the funeral, just celebrating the life of his brother-in-law. And it was a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful time that we had, and hearing from friends and family. I just want to say, first of all, thank you for all the prayers that have been coming over the last several weeks for Charlie and his family, and for those of you that went yesterday, and those of you that could not, because it was a long drive, but were there in spirit, thank you. It meant so very much to them, and what a blessing it is. And this morning, we do miss him, but he's with his family, and we understand that completely, but we do have Kim, and she's back there holding up the fort, but we had him on the phone a few times this morning going, "Hey, bro, we're lost. We need some help." So here we are. But anyway, so does anyone know where we are? Mark. That's right. We are still in the book of Mark, at least for a few more weeks. I feel like I'm going to spill that if I do that. I'm going to put it right there. I'll probably still spill it. So, but we'll make it work. But we're in the book of Mark. We're in chapter 4. And last week, if you recall, we covered three verses of Mark chapter 4. We focused on verses 26 through 29. We were hoping to go through 34, but after spending time with the Lord, I felt like we need to condense it, and we need to focus on just the growing seed last week. And I hope that you walked away from that sermon with a better understanding of what God was trying to convey, or Jesus was trying to convey to us through that scripture. And today, we're going to finish up with verses 30 through 34, just three verses. Four verses today. But what we did learn last week in quick review, so if you guys remember, that parable of growing the seed, while the other parables that we had read earlier over the last couple of weeks, the parable of the sower, the parable of the lamp, they were connected, Jesus takes a different focus, if you recall, with the parable of the growing seed, and now we're seeing something very different. Whereas we're talking about in the parable of the sower and the parable of a lamp, what God is doing through us if we're in good soil, and the result of good soil being a lamp, light to the world. Jesus takes it to a different degree now, and he starts focusing on the kingdom of God. And that's where we're going to focus on today, finishing up talking about the kingdom of God. What we learned last week is that the kingdom of God is growing. Amen? It's growing. And what we also learned was, just like that farmer who he rises and he sleeps, and yet the seed that he planted is growing even while he's doing that, is that the kingdom of God is growing, and we don't understand why or how. And you know, what we found out last week is that God, through Jesus, gave us a glimpse of the mysteries of the kingdom by showing us something. That is, it happens because of him. He is doing the work. And you might think that you bring something to the table, but you really don't. We don't, other than obedience and faith. But God is doing the work, so it's none of our efforts. So the kingdom is growing. We don't know how, but we can have trust in the Lord that it is growing. Because we have to realize this, that everything that deals with the kingdom of God is not visible to us, right? It's a mystery. It's part of his sovereign will. It's a mystery to us. But God, in his sovereignty and his grace, through Mark, has given us a glimpse of the kingdom, how it grows. And that's what we saw last week in the parable of the seed, the growing seed. So if you weren't here, I encourage you to go back and watch that either on our Facebook page or our YouTube channel. In fact, you ought to watch this entire series. It's been so powerful over the last several weeks. But this week, we're going to be looking directly at the verses that follow, the parable of the growing seed. We're going to be looking at the parable of the mustard seed. And, you know, for years, over the years, one thing that I've noticed is that we have taken the context of the mustard seed and made it work for us. Right? We twist God's scriptures and we make it work for us. And what we need to remember is everything happens for whose glory? For whose good? Well, our good. God's glory, our good. It results in our good when we do it His way. When we do it in His way. We may not understand it at the time, but that's how it works. So today, what my hope is that as we look at this parable rightly, okay, we're going to see what God is saying to us about it, the growth of His kingdom. And I want to emphasize something, and it's going to be on the screen right now. His kingdom, not ours. Everybody okay with that? Say yeah. All right, you guys ready? Everybody put your hands together. Get warmed up. All right. This is going to be interactive. We're going to do some hand motions again today to make sure everyone out there is alive and kicking and paying attention to God's word. So let's start at Mark chapter 4. I'm going to read first from the ESV, then I'm going to kind of switch translations, but we're going to read from ESV first. Jesus speaks, and He said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest seed on all the earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the other garden plants and puts out larger branches so that the birds of the air can make nest in its shade." And Mark says, "With such parables, He spoke the word to them as they were able to hear. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to His own disciples, He explained everything." All right. Let's go ahead and let's pray. Let's bow our heads and pray together and ask God to have His way this morning. Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning with humble hearts, grateful for the mercy and grace that You have given to us through Your Son. And Father, we are grateful for Your presence in our lives. That guides us, that leads us daily, particularly when we submit to Your will. And this morning, Lord, we are asking that by listening, by hearing this morning, Lord God, we would lean ever more closely into Your presence. And that by it, we would be caused to trust You more and thus live for You. And do that by ending all efforts of trying and instead, Lord, saying, live Your life through mine, through the power of Your Spirit. And Lord, I pray that this morning You would use this word to drive us to our knees in renewed faith to trust You, to use us to do exceedingly above what we could ever imagine as You lead, and we surrender in faith and obedience. Father, may we each take this word this morning and hold it over and against the scripture so that as we do that, Lord, You would reveal even deeper revelation to us in our alone time with You throughout this week. Lord, that's my desire for my church family. Use me, Lord, this morning for the glory of Your name and for the good of each person who hears. In the name of Jesus, we prayed. Amen. You know, when you look at this passage, what you need to realize this morning is that small things in the sovereign plan of God become very significant things. We should never judge what God is doing by how small something starts, but rather by how it ends. You know, some things, they have hidden potential. And sometimes we just don't see that. Anybody experienced that before? You look at something and go, I don't think so. Anybody? But then you're like, wow, I didn't see that coming. Look at that. You know, when you think about those brief, maybe happenstances that we have in life, those can actually turn into big moments sometimes. Maybe when We think some of those small prayers that we pray to God, they may not result in anything, but then God moves in a mighty way and blows our mind. Anybody ever been there before? Had your mind blown? Right off your head? Nasty sight. That little word of encouragement that you might give a person might actually be life or death to them. We just don't know. But we've got to trust God. And today, Jesus is going to teach us more about the kingdom of God as we look at this parable. Jesus has been telling several parables. We know that. We've been looking through Mark chapter 4 for the last several weeks. And what he's trying to do is he's trying to help his followers understand the kingdom of God. And so here we come to parable number 4, dealing with the mustard seed. And God's going to tell us something that is so important that we need to hear today. I want you to remember this. A parable is a story, or rather an object lesson, okay? That takes something that you and I can see, something in the physical, to help us understand something that we can't see in the spiritual. Does that make sense? Okay? It's a parable that gives us insight, okay, in what we can't see by simply using things that we can see. Has that ever helped anyone before? Right? Jesus has already taught us that we can't see the kingdom of God, but we can certainly understand it. And so let's see what he's trying to teach us today. So I'm going to switch translations, and I'm going to read from the NLT right now. Let's look at what Jesus said in this version. He says, "How can I describe the kingdom of God? What story should I use to illustrate it? It's like a mustard seed planted in the ground. It's the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of all garden plants. It grows long branches." Everybody stretch your arms out. "Long branches so that the birds can make nest in its shade." Jesus, okay, you can put your hands down now. We're warmed up. Jesus used many similar stories and illustrations to teach people as much as they could understand. You catching that? In fact, in his public ministry, he never taught without using parables, but afterward, when he was alone with his disciples, he would explain everything to them. This is what you need to understand. As a follower of Jesus Christ, it's important that you understand the kingdom of God. It's important that you understand how it works, and more importantly, what it's all about. That is so important because Jesus taught so much about the kingdom. If you go through all the gospels, did you ever notice that? He talked about three things more than anything. He talked about kingdom, money, and hell. More than anything else. Those are the things he talked about. So we've already learned that the kingdom of God deals with, most importantly, salvation. Amen. Everybody say amen. Amen. It deals with that. How we are justified in Christ, how we grow spiritually, how we are ultimately headed to heaven as believers because we believe in Jesus Christ. Amen. That's good news right there. The kingdom of God deals with how God saved you from the penalty of sin, how God is saving you from the power of sin, and how God is saving you away from the presence of sin. Wow, that's good. The kingdom of God also deals with his reign and his authority. And so the parable of the mustard seed teaches us about the kingdom of God, how it spreads from one person to another, how it spreads from one generation to another, how it spreads from one nation to other nations. The parable of the mustard seed is about the advancement of God's kingdom, and God uses what seems like, listen to me, little things to accomplish big things. So what can we learn about the kingdom of God from this parable? Well, today we're going to learn three things. You may learn more, but three specific things, okay? You're going to take notes and you're going to write three things down, and then there's going to be more that comes from that, obviously. But we're going to learn three things. This is the first thing that we learn about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is inauspicious. It's inauspicious. You know, that refers to something that when you look at it, doesn't show or suggest that there's much success in its future. It's like looking at something going, like I said earlier, you go, "I don't think so. There is no way." Anybody ever had that sarcastic tone when you looked at something, you know, and you're like, "Ah, that's just not going to work," you know? It's unpromising. In fact, that's in the definition of inauspicious. But look what it says in verse 30. Jesus says, how can I describe the kingdom of God? What story should I use to illustrate it? This is really interesting to me. It should be to you as well, you know, because right here, what Jesus is doing is he's giving us some insight into how he thinks. What should I use? How should I describe this? And he's thinking about how to illustrate and teach the kingdom of God to his disciples. So he's got to give them something they can understand. And so he's searching through these various ideas and object lessons that are going to help them to grow and understand. And I got news for you. Everybody listen. This is an example or a lesson for us to take away from Jesus that is so important, particularly in the way that we present or share the gospel with others. When we are teaching or sharing about Jesus or God with others, we are talking about the kingdom and his truths. It's on the screen. Look at this. Write it down. We need to start where that person is, not where we think they ought to be. Anybody ever done that before? You get ahead of them and they're like lost and like, okay, you lost me. We need to work with where people are, not where we think they should be or where we want them to be. When you're giving biblical advice, which you should be giving biblical advice, okay? Trying to help someone understand God's truth, think through all the different ways it would make sense for the person who's listening. Give them a story. Give them an object lesson that would make sense to them. Start where they are. And the reason that Jesus is saying, what illustration should I use? What story should I use? Because he's searching for the best way to describe the kingdom of God to these men so that they would get it. And you know why? Because they had a wrong view of the kingdom of God. So Jesus had to correct that. He had to fix that. We're not told what their view of the kingdom of God was, but maybe, just maybe, they were thinking like, you know, Greek mythology, that heaven is like on a mountaintop with clouds all around and God's showing all his glory to the people who are looking up at him. If that's what they thought, they were wrong. Maybe they thought it was like this huge river that was carrying this God's glory and life to all the far places where it touched. If that's what they thought, they were wrong. Maybe they had this picture in their mind that the kingdom of God was like these massive oak trees that we have all over the island. If you go in my yard, I've got one that's leaning. We call it the leaning live oak, right over what we call the peninsula or Quaker Point, okay? That's what we call it over there. And it leans over and branches are going everywhere in every direction. And maybe that's what they thought. They're a little closer, but they're still wrong. The Bible doesn't tell us what they were thinking. It doesn't tell us that. But it's obvious. I can't keep this mic on my ear. But it's obvious that they had the wrong idea about the kingdom of God. I just figured out why. It's not tucked in. And so Jesus had to correct them, and he had, at the same time, to teach them. But do you notice he didn't go, get thee behind me, Satan, you're wrong. He said, how should I illustrate this to them? What story should I use? You see the difference there? How can I convey this to them in a way that they would understand it and understand it well? Instead of this towering mountain, instead of this roaring river, instead of this majestic, amazing oak tree, you know what Jesus does? He compares the kingdom of God instead to a tiny mustard seed. A tiny mustard seed. He uses this image of something so small to teach them about the kingdom of God. Look at that. Look how little that mustard seed is. In verse 31, he goes on to say, it's like a mustard seed planted in the ground. And can you imagine the amazement of those disciples when they heard that? They're going, a mustard seed? The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed? What? Jesus is describing the kingdom of God to us this way? Seriously, a mustard seed? You see, because they thought that he was going to present something that was huge, something that was big, something that was royal, something that was majestic in their mind, something that would be so huge that it would capture, it would overtake the Roman Empire, and it would impact the world that they were living in. That's what they were expecting the kingdom of God to look like. We're going to take these Romans out, and we're going to change the world. I think that's what they were thinking. But instead, Jesus says it's like a mustard seed planted in the ground. Now, the mustard seed is one of the smallest seeds in the world. It's not the smallest, but it's one of the smallest seeds in the world. But you have to think context. In the place where Jesus lived, in the time that he lived, that was the smallest seed that they knew of. So that's what he was using. And he's more than likely referring to, if you can tell, it's black, to a black mustard seed, okay? It was grown for oil. They would use it in condiments. They would use it to make food taste a little better. They would use it for medicine. They would use it for all different things. But it was small. And in fact, you know, it would take about 700 of those seeds, excuse me, my arm is killing me, 700 of those seeds to make up just 1 ounce. 1 ounce. Can you believe that? And there's, one gram. And there's 28 grams in an ounce. So you know how many mustard seeds it would take to make an ounce? Anybody have an idea? Go ahead and do the math in your head. Tom? 2,000 plus, you're close. Add another zero, almost 20,000. Almost 20,000 mustard seeds. You were close, yeah, you were close. But here's the interesting thing about it. That tiny seed right there would grow into a very large plant. And in so many people's eyes, in the world that we live in today, the kingdom of God seems so small and insignificant. It seems, he's trying to prove me wrong. It seems out of the way. Okay, thank you. Okay, just making sure. Get thee beat. No, I'm kidding. All right. A lot of people also think that the kingdom of God is not even noticeable in any way. They don't see it at work like it's described in the Bible today. But God's kingdom, this is good news for us, takes little things, the unexpected things, and then uses them for great and mighty things. You see this over and over and over in the Bible. Remember Jesus when he fed the 5,000? He took that little boy's lunch and he fed 5,000 people with it. Amen. That's awesome, isn't it? He took a family, one family, to build an ark. He took a forgotten man who stuttered and was in the wilderness for 40 years to come back and lead his people out of slavery. God used a small boy to kill a giant. And God would use a baby born in a lowly manger to save the world. God's kingdom is inauspicious. It takes things and people that show little to no future and uses them in such incredible ways. Don't judge the kingdom by how it starts, but judge the kingdom by how it's going to end. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. The second thing that we can learn about the kingdom is that the kingdom of God is growing. We learned that last week, but we continue to see that in this scripture. Jesus said in verse 31, he said, "It is the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of all garden plants. It grows long branches." Everybody with me? Everybody there? Okay, there we are. "And birds can make its nest in its shade." So let's walk through each of these phrases about the kingdom of God so that we can compare it to a mustard seed, all right? Jesus said it's the smallest of all seeds. Even though the mustard seed was very small, it wasn't the smallest, as I said, in the world. But to Jesus and the people that he's speaking to, it was really small. Really small. It was the smallest seed that they knew. It was common seed to them, and it was something that was familiar. It was something that they could understand. He was speaking to them in a way they could understand. That's so critical here. Because of its size, the symbol of which was small to them, he said this in Matthew 17. Listen, he said, because they understood how small a mustard seed was. He said, "Because of your faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." That's a scripture that's taken out of context all the time. All the time.
I remember going to a conference one time, and the guy was preaching on this and literally was giving everybody mustard seeds. He said, take your mustard seed and plant it. I'm like, that is not what the scripture... You see, we're putting our faith in the mustard seed. Not in Jesus. He said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, we have to be careful. Everybody's, I got my mustard seed. That is not the scripture. I have Jesus. That's what I need. And so that's why Jesus decided to take this tiny mustard seed. It was the perfect illustration to help his disciples, man, get it. As you can see, it's little things that God uses to make big differences in the world. Amen? He goes on to say, it's the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of all garden plants. When that tiny mustard seed, catch this, going back to the parable of the sower, is planted in good soil, right? It germinates, and it produces a large shrub-like plant that can resemble a tree. In fact, some mustard plants would grow as much as 15 to 30 feet high. That's a pretty big plant, isn't it? So imagine what Jesus is wanting us to really get out of this. Something very small becoming large, something that doesn't seem significant, actually having great significance. And, you know, a great example of the kingdom starting small and growing, something that doesn't seem significant but has great significance, is the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ in that day and age and his disciples. Because that was small back then. No one took that seriously. But look what happened as a result of what Jesus started when he came to earth. He began with 12 disciples. And boy, they were a motley crew, weren't they? A bunch of uneducated fishermen, a bunch of revolutionaries, and the most despised of all of Israel, tax collector. Good Lord. But later the Bible tells us, and we see this in 1 Corinthians, it says that there were over 500 believers that he had spoken to. And then Peter saw over 3,000 people come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ on the day of Pentecost. And then several weeks later, another 5,000. And you know what? By the time that we get to Acts chapter 7 or 8, there's probably like 50,000 followers of Jesus Christ in Jerusalem. Woo! That's amazing, isn't it? From what? A tiny mustard seed. And today, despite the sin and the weakness of the church, the message is still being carried all over the world. And one day, man, the Bible tells us believers are going to gather from every nation and we're going to worship him from every tongue, every tribe, every nation. We're going to worship him. It says that in Revelation chapter 5. Amen. And Jesus said, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, is the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of all plants. And one day the kingdom is going to gather and we're going to worship him together. That day is coming. Another example of this kingdom truth about God's kingdom starts small and looking significant is when in reality we look at what God is doing divinely in each individual person. Each individual person. Look at David. He was a mustard seed. He was the youngest of 8 boys. Small, too. He was ignored. He was given the one job that nobody wanted. Tend the sheep. And what did God use him to do while he was tending sheep? To become a giant killer. Amen. That's amazing, isn't it? Another example is Gideon. Everybody knows Gideon, right? He's a mustard seed, too. He was from the smallest family in the smallest tribe. And God took him and made him a strategic military leader. And the same is true of you. You know, when I think about each of you, some of you have been here for 8 years since we started, and what God has done in your life, how he's grown you, how he's shaped you, how he's used you. You know, and the interesting thing is people go, well, you're a small church. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Branches extend wide. We have supportive churches in North Carolina, supportive churches in Honduras, supporter of nations, what God's doing. It doesn't take much. In the grand scheme of things, you know that we're mustard seeds? Everybody say, I'm a mustard seed. Oh, that was weak. Say it again. I'm a mustard seed. I'm a mustard seed. Yeah, we're small. We're tiny. Most people on this planet may never know your name, and that's okay. But God, listen, decided to save you. Amen. God decided to fill you. He decided to give you a new heart, a new mind, a new purpose, and a new direction. Amen. And by that, you can be used to bless many people for the glory of God, for the glory of His kingdom, for the expansion of His kingdom. Don't focus on what you can do. Don't focus on your size. Focus on the size of what God can do when He uses you according to His will and His purposes. There's an interesting statement that's tucked away in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10. And it says, do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. Amen. So Jesus goes on to say about the mustard seed, it's the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of all garden plants. It grows long branches, and birds can make nests in its shade. I'm sorry, excuse me. The influence of the kingdom. The influence of the kingdom spreads throughout the world. And it does so because of these long branches. All these different types of birds that shade in its nest. People have been blessed as a result of that. And we think about this, and Jesus is using this story, and He brings in shade, He brings in birds. And there comes a question, it's like, well, what is Jesus referring to? That is such a good question. You guys have such great questions. Thank you. Well, think about it this way. The kingdom of God has blessed people in so many practical ways, right? The mustard seed and the mustard plant were used in so many ways. First of all, shelter. The branches, they would spread wide and long, and people could rest under their shade. Birds would rest in their shade. In the shadow of that plant, birds, people, whatever, found shelter from storms, rest, weariness, shade when they needed it. It also provided food. People would gather the leaves of the mustard plant. They would serve it up as food. The seeds were crushed. They were used as condiment for foods that didn't taste so good to make them taste better. That's good stuff right there. It was used as medicine. They were crushed again, mixed with other things to provide medicine to help with snake bites, spider bites, scorpion bites. It was also used to fight off colds and other illness. You guys are gonna be like, I gotta get some mustard seeds. And then if you take the birds, think about it this, the birds maybe represent people. All types of people have been blessed by the kingdom of God. Haven't they? The long branches of the kingdom of God have provided shade for many people, for many generations of all nations. Everywhere the kingdom of God has gone, think about it for a second, it has brought hospitals, it has brought schools, it has brought truth, it has brought morality, ethics, decency, compassion, and above all, salvation. Salvation. Wherever the gospel has gone, it has abolished all sorts of sin, slavery, racism, adultery, human sacrifice, cannibalism, name them. It's built orphanages, cared for the sick, comfort for those who have suffered loss. Wherever the gospel has gone, it has provided places of hope, such as halfway houses, such as recovery programs. I'm thinking of the Hope is Alive house over here in Carteret County, for example. Shelters, housing, disaster relief. You won't find any better disaster relief out there than Baptists on Mission. And it doesn't matter what color you are, if you're red, yellow, black, brown, purple, green. There's no green and purple. Okay, I think about that for a second. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, educated, uneducated. It doesn't matter what's happening in your life, whether you're good, you're bad, ugly. I like that movie. All types of birds find shade underneath the kingdom of God. It takes us to the third thing that we learn about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is influential. It's influential. In Mark chapter 4, verse 33, Mark tells us, he says, Jesus used many similar stories, illustrations, parables to teach the people as they could understand. You know, there's only so much we can understand. How many of you know that? A lot of smart people out in their world, there's no doubt about it, but there's still so much that we can understand. God knows this. He knows this. And as you read his word, think about what it says. Listen to other people who teach God's truth. You listen to me, you listen to Charlie, you might listen to podcasts. As you're doing those things, you know what you're going to do? You're going to discover that you begin to understand more and more about God's word. The more you listen, the more you hear. Remember we talked about how you hear a few weeks ago, how we get that? Just think about when you went to school, how many of you learned numbers, right? And then after you learned numbers, what did you learn after that? You learned how to count, right? And then after you learned how to count, you began to add. And then you started to move up from there, and from adding, you went to simple math, and you began now fractions, which I'm not good at math, so I hate that stuff. Division, algebra, calculus, trig, all that stuff. Whew. Well, there's a learning process when it comes to God's word, to his kingdom. Throughout your life, God is going to teach you his word as you study it. Did you guys catch that? As you study it, this word. Guys, look at my Bible. It's falling apart. I've got duct tape on it. This is my oldest Bible. I love this one. I won't get rid of it because it's got all my notes. You can see I write in this one. Yes, you can write in your Bible. It's okay. I'm not changing it. I'm just putting my notes in it, okay? I got little stickies everywhere. It's falling apart on the inside. I've had to glue it a few times. This is my favorite Bible to read from, and you can tell I've studied it. And through the years, I've learned, and I'm still learning. It does no good if you don't open it. It doesn't do any good if the only reason you use your Bible or you have your Bible is to keep up with your family tree. You've got to read it so that you can learn it and God can speak to you. And as a result, you can grow because there is a learning process to the kingdom of God, and it's found right here. You know, so many people, you've heard me joke about this, they're like, Lord, speak to me, you know, and they're like, they're waiting for God, you know, to call them on the phone or something. And that makes me want to take my Bible and just slap them across the head. Read your Bible. That's his word. Amen? So God is trying to teach you about his word when you study it. And he's going to use, as you look in here, a lot of stories and illustrations to teach you what you need to know. So what I would say to you is stay faithful as you read God's word. Keep following as you read God's word. Keep learning as you read God's word. Keep growing as you learn, as you read God's word. Let his word influence your thinking, your living, your doing, your being, your everything. For you, everything. Mark goes on to tell us in verse 34, he says, in his public ministry, he never taught without using parables, but afterward, when he was alone with his disciples, he explained everything to them. Amen. You know what? For you and for me today, this is why we have God's word. We have it all. So you might go, I don't understand that parable. Well, keep reading. He's going to break it down for you. Amen. And if you can't understand it, then maybe you weren't meant to understand it. You know, there's so many, everybody wants us as pastors to teach on Revelations all the time, all the time. They're like, when we do a study on Revelations? And I'm like, I don't know. And I'll tell you why. Let me just, look, we all need to have proper eschatology, okay? There's no doubt. What that means is we have to have a proper understanding of the end or the end times, okay? No doubt about that. I agree. You know what? But some of us get so hung up on what is going to happen that we're not concerned about what is happening. And more importantly, what we need to be doing in the world right now. So, when is he coming? What, Lord, we need to be alert. We need to be watching. But you and I are tasked with going and making disciples of all men, teaching them everything that he commanded, by baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son. Well, that's what we're supposed to do. Sorry, tangent there. In his public ministry, he never taught without using parables, but afterward, when he was alone with his disciples, he explained everything to them. This is important. It says, in his public ministry. You catch that? Well, today, you need to be part of his public ministry. Today, all of us are his hands and feet. We need to be part of his public ministry. The church is his public ministry. We need to be digging into his word every day so that we can be his public ministry and explaining to others his word. Being his hands and his feet. We need to let God's word influence us so that we can, you know where I'm going with that, right? Influence others. That's how the kingdom of God is influential. That's how it's influential. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. God can take something so small, someone so insignificant, and turn it into a blessing that reaches so many. Don't overlook the mustard seed moments in your life, folks. Sometimes we do that. You know that? We just overlook those mustard seed moments in our life, those little conversations where you share the word of God with someone. It might just be the turning point in their life. You just may not see it for years. And that's okay. Why? Because the kingdom is growing even when we can't see it. The kingdom is growing, and we don't know how, but we still plant the seed. And we trust God. And just because we don't see it happen today, tomorrow, or in 6 months or a year, doesn't mean that God isn't doing something in the background that we can't see or understand. That should be encouraging to you. That short prayer that you pray for a friend, it might be the key that moves the mountain in their life. So keep praying. Just because you don't see it on your timeline doesn't mean that God isn't moving. That small act of generosity because of your love of Christ and of people, you become shade for someone that gets them out of a difficult time, a crisis. You know, years ago, I had no idea. I'd been praying for somebody. I had been sowing in their life, and I was just doing it because it was the right thing to do, and I felt God was leading me to do that. Everybody done that before? And then years later, they approached me, and I had no idea, and they said, you just have no idea how you were my rock and how you lifted me up in that season, and I am so grateful to God because if you had not, I'm thinking, really? I did that? You never know. So you keep pressing in and you be shade even when people run out from underneath it. Because you never know, you might be shade to someone protecting them from the enemy as well. Small things, my friends, become big things. What seems insignificant can just be significant. And you know what most people would overlook? God's going to use. He's going to use it. This is what the kingdom of God is like. It's like a mustard seed.
It's like a mustard seed planted in the ground, and we just trust the Lord that he's going to do something that we don't understand as it grows. That's okay. Let me remind you this morning, the results are up to God, not you. Okay? All we have to do is be faithful. Do it with me. In spreading the seed. This morning, as I close, listen, if you're not part of the family of God, you need to place your life in the hands of God this morning. You know, I could say you should. I'm going to say you need to, because you do. You need to. You need to repent of sin in your life, and you need to believe into Jesus. I can't say it any more clear or plain. And a lot of us, we think, well, God's not going to have me. He's not going to have me. He can't use me. What did I just preach? Have you been listening? He won't turn you away. And listen, he'll do more in and through you than you could ever imagine. I could give a shout out, you know, years ago at the Crossing Church in High Point. We had four spaces at the Oak Hollow Mall, which is now closed. We actually took over the old Cancun restaurant, and then the youth room was upstairs in another part of the mall, and then we had a kids' room somewhere else and small groups in another place. Kind of interesting concept when you think about it. But I remember one day sitting in the youth room, and Chris Lockhart, whom I love, I hope he watches this one day. I don't think he understands this. Sitting like on that sofa. Chris in his heavy Boston accent. Paul. I think Chris was his late 50s at the time. He looked over at me and he said, in this last season of my life, and it's amazing, I use the same line now. He said, in this last season of my life, he said, Paul, I want to be successful. And not in terms of, not in the way that the world understands success, but successful for the kingdom of God. He says, and I know in order for me to be successful, and he took his hand and he put it on my shoulder. He says, I need to have successors. He says, I want to leave a legacy. That man sowed into my life for a short season, but had the greatest impact in my life. God used him in a mighty way for a short season. I mean short. We're talking just a couple years, maybe 3 years. And it had the greatest impact in my life, him sowing into me. And I think about where I'm at today and what God is doing in and through me as a pastor and as someone who just loves to sow into church planters and the people. And God used that man, that mustard seed, to sow into someone else that would sow into someone else and to someone else and to someone else. And he did it for others. I mean, there were a group of us that went out of that church. So there's no telling what impact that had today or will have in the kingdom of God. But as a result, he was a church planner, and he wanted to see churches planted all over North Carolina. He's retired today. But can I tell you that churches are being planted all over North Carolina as a direct influence of that man? Mustard seed. And probably the United States, and maybe even the world. I don't know. But we have no idea what God is going to do in our lives or how he's going to use us if we are just faithful.
And so this is what I would say to you. If you are part of the family of God, you should take your life. Everybody do this. Take your arms out. You should take your life and present it to him. You should present it to him. Lay it before him today and say, Lord, I want to be your mustard seed. You guys put your hands down. Come on, stay with me. I'm still holding mine up. I want to be your mustard seed. Okay, now you can put them down. I want to be your mustard seed. And you know what? He can take you. And if you will allow him to, he'll use you in ways that you never believed or imagined. I would just encourage you this morning, give him all your life and then watch him work. Bring your mustard seed to Jesus and watch him take it. Watch him turn it into something that is just massive, huge, great for the glory of his name, for the expansion of his kingdom. That's what we should want. So the kingdom of God, my friends, is inauspicious. Just because you don't see it doesn't mean it's not going to blow your mind one day, because it is. One day we will stand in awe. The Bible has made it very clear in Philippians chapter 2. Every knee will bow, every tongue in heaven, on earth, and under the earth is going to bow and proclaim Jesus Lord for the glory of God the Father. It's going to happen. We're also, when we look at the kingdom of God, we need to understand this. It's growing. You may not see it right now, but it's growing. And I promise you, even in this world where things are just nuts, the kingdom of God is still growing. And one day it's going to overtake. And if you, well, even if you don't, but if you would allow God, he'll use his influence, because the kingdom of God is influential. And if you decide, well, no, that's not me, I got news for you, he'll use somebody else. And you'll miss out. I don't know about you, I'd rather be part of it than not. And so I encourage you this morning, be part of what God is doing in his kingdom. He is allowing his kingdom to be influential. You can be part of that too. The kingdom of God's like a mustard seed. But don't count it out. Let's pray. Father, a simple word this morning, Lord God. I just pray, Lord, that as we listen this morning, that despite what we see with our own eyes, Lord, we would have new faith to believe, Lord, that you are doing amazing things that we have yet to comprehend. And that if we are willing, that Lord, if we are willing to trust you and obey, that Lord, you will use us in mighty ways for your kingdom, the expansion of your kingdom. And I pray this morning, Lord God, that we wouldn't count anything out, Lord. As many counted Jesus out, they didn't take him seriously. And yet, Lord, he died for the sins of many, defeated death, the grave and sin, rose back to life, and now sits at your right hand. Lord, you can do whatever you desire to do with whatever you choose. And you have chosen to use the small things to just show how great your kingdom is. I pray, Lord, that we would understand that. And Lord, that we would step into that and trust you, Lord God, knowing
that we too, Lord, can be a mustard seed being used by you for the glory of your name, for the expansion of your kingdom, if we would but believe. And Lord, if there's someone here who's not part of your family, Lord, I pray this morning that they would do, as I said earlier, repent of their sin, turn toward you and believe into you, Lord God. And I pray, formed by the power of your Spirit, Lord, and follow it up with baptism, Lord. And I pray this morning that if we are all part of your family, Lord, that we would do what we did earlier, Lord. We would just open our hands and say, Lord, take my life, use me. Kind of the same thing that happened, Lord, with Isaiah. Here I am, send me, Lord. Make it so. May we have that kind of faith, Lord, as we, Lord, say, I am your mustard seed. Use me. I pray that now in Jesus' name, and we all agreed and said, amen and amen.